We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Go. Let's go, Bam.
Oh, he's flying now. Bam is flying now.
Got it through. Let's go, Bam.
It's going to come down to the shot.
Make this shot, Bam.
It's going to come down to the shot. Good. This is Sabonis is in the right position. Take your time.
Too hard. Sabonis gets off quick.
He does. Come on.
Listen, that's what we do.
Oh, my. I see how things are shaping up tonight.
I think he's going to do Jordan.
You mean jump from the free throw line?
Yep.
Oh, he's going to do the logo, the new logo. Goodness, that's a windmill for one step inside. He's mad because he did it so hard, but it's still a 50, brothers.
You're hugging the trophy. I would imagine that this one here on this floor, where is this trophy going to go?
I don't know, somewhere in my house, but it might be in the trophy case just by itself, nothing close to it.
This will go down as one of the iconic slam dunk contests. How would you describe it?
It was great, you know, great competition. You know, we was out here putting on a show for the fans, not just doing what we're supposed to do.
Congratulations. Once again, give it up for your 2020 AT&T Slam Dunk Champion, Derrick Jones Jr.
James Harden with his All-Star game just settling in, drives and kicks to Davis. He's wide open, a wing three, and it's straight down for Anthony Davis. Kemba Walker quickened pace down court for Giannis right at the cup, puts it in. Team Giannis a four-point lead in the second quarter. Davis a catch and shoot three off the mark. James taps it out to Kawhi. He'll shoot the three and hits his fifth three-pointer in this All-Star game. Gobert the rebound, 3 seconds to go. Trae Young half-court heave at the horn is good. Davis has the ball, spins it in his hands. Free throw up, it's good, it's over. Team LeBron has won the 69th NBA All-Star Game, 157-155 over Team Giannis.
Well, happy Monday morning, happy President's Day to those of you that are out on, and by the way, I guess if you're out or you're listening to us here first thing in the morning, probably had to come in and work. So maybe President's Day's not as good as you were hoping it would be.
A President's Day edition of the Joe Roach Show. Who's your favorite president, Joe? Come on, you got to have a
my favorite
president.
Oh, man.
Ben Franklin?
I grew up, you know, with all the history and stuff.
Alexander
Abraham
Hamilton.
Lincoln? Abe? Plus, they had a movie after him. I mean, come on, man.
I got to go.
Where do you go?
I got to go with either Michael Douglas in the Nanette Bening movie or the Kevin Kline.
That was good, by the way.
Sigourney Weaver.
That was a good one. That was a good one. I just saw that movie again. God. As you get older, you got more time to watch all these movies like two, three times. Like, oh, that was good a couple years ago. Let me watch it again. Dave Hyde's with us this morning from the Sun Center. One thing about guys that you could tell the empty nester, we can work anytime, man. We are ready to go. So Dave's in, Hollywood's back, and my man Matty Ice has been with us Friday, and he's back here again today. So
I just like that he went fictional president, by the way, because there's a long list of good fictional presidents.
I know.
You could go
Joe
with,
didn't
right?
pick like, up. I thought Joe, being a historical buff, would pick up on Alexander Hamilton.
No. Franklin. I did.
I just rode right through it.
Listen, there's been a zillion movies, as you said, right? And the wife, and they turn into kind of a love movie. And
the single president.
The single president's got the kid, and or, you know, somehow leaving security and going to meet her someplace. And
they're perfect presidents, too. They have a little controversy, but they get the agenda.
You're losing. You have to get back involved in this. You need a message, a strong one. So, yeah, that's pretty funny. pretty funny stuff. Well, we got a lot of stuff going on. Great weekend for the Miami Heat family, no question about it. Derrick Jones Jr. wins. With a little controversy, but wins the dunk contest. I don't know how much controversy. It's a dunk contest. Aaron Gordon says, I got screwed for a second straight year. Bam takes care of the skills champion. Well, I'll tell you what, Bam, great weekend for him. Also had 8 points last night in the All-Star game. So Bam and Jimmy played in that game. 4 points, rebounds for Jimmy last night. So a lot of stuff. A new format. If you're wondering what the hell was going on with that, the Elam ending was pretty cool. First one to 157. Nobody knew exactly how it was going to turn out, and they picked it up at the end of the game, played hard, and got after it. They called fouls. There were charges. The fact that they called any fouls at all is amazing in itself, considering all that stuff. But, yeah, charges last night.
MVP goes to the ref who called traveling in an All-Star game. I didn't even think that was legal. Traveling.
The only bad – it is hard to travel in the NBA, you're right. The only bad thing is Anthony Davis got the 157, missed the first free throw, made the second one. That was it. Game over.
They played.
That was it.
Why do they play to 157? What's the magic there? Do you know?
That's the number they picked. Like, I thought it was actually a good way to end. Like, it was a fun way to end it. You know, because these guys are basically playing a pickup game, and that's what it went to. But it was like 11:30 or so. I'm staying up late to watch the finish of this. And I had to watch it end on a free throw.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little bit
not
of
a guy. Not
like
a guy.
It was really competitive and fun at the end, but to watch it end on a free throw is ridiculous.
Hey, the Greek Freak blocked two LeBron shots in an All-Star game, and they were both impressive blocks. I mean, he tried that little strong move for that fadeaway, and, of course, the Greek Freak is long and packed it right back at him and then going to the basket and pegged one against the backboard. Pinned one against the backboard. Pretty good stuff last night. Anyway, we got all kinds of stuff to get to. Dave, I'm probably over the top on this stuff, but this ongoing stuff with the Houston Astros. So the Astros, after what was a crap show with that public apology thing, starting with that jack-off owner, there's one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen. The guy is a complete joke. The commissioner came out just – if you thought – it was just opinion of the media. The commissioner agreed with you. They did. Commissioner had a one-on-one yesterday. And he goes, yeah, it was bad. He just said it was bad. But now the players are coming out going, oh, no, enough, man. We won that damn thing. Like, we're for a couple of days. And you got the commissioner going, no, listen, you guys need to own it and accept responsibility for this stuff because the other 29 teams are really pissed off about this. And I mean to the point that Dusty Baker, the new manager for the Astros, came out and said, I'm a little concerned about retaliation for what just took place. I don't want my guys getting thrown at. It's going to get dangerous. So the commissioner came out and said, we are cracking down on throwing at Astros. Basically, we are cracking down on anybody that throws at these Astros players.
Well, I think the opposing team should have a designated pitcher to throw the first pitch every game, right? And it should be
get it out of the way.
Right, get it out of the way. Throw it right, and the Astros can have an MMA fighter or something up there, and start. But how can you not throw at them every game, right? If you're especially, can you imagine when they play the Dodgers for the first time?
Oh my God!
Every pitch.
Well, they don't play each other this year
in
the regular
true.
Season,
right.
So
yeah.
It would only be
there's no crossover.
But it'd be a hell of a World Series to see it again.
ESPN should demand that game. Just for ratings, because, you know, ratings are in the tank in baseball. Even though the season hasn't started, I already know they're in the tank for baseball. So get something like that on. That'd be fun.
So, Dave, Carlos Correa came out. He said, enough's enough. Now you guys are getting after my man Altuve, Jose Altuve. And he was clean. He was one of the guys that didn't use the system. He was asked, but he didn't want to use it. And as far as the protecting his shirt, his wife said it's a bad look to show your chest, and he's got a tattoo he's not proud of, and
there's a lot of strange excuses coming.
It was like what?
An unfinished tattoo. Can we finish it and then see it?
Very embarrassed. So he had to cover up. So and Correa started. I mean, it got really, really ugly there for a few days, and so I guess Carlos Correa comes out and he goes, well, I got a few things to say. There were two guys that didn't use it. Altuve and Josh Reddick didn't use it. They didn't cheat. But the other guys might have used it a little bit. But and this guy only used it a few times. I got to tell you, nothing against Carlos Correa, but you have no credibility. Nobody believes anything you said about 2017, I guess, Dave, into 2018. Anything these guys say, it's 29 teams versus one. Nobody believes anything you said. I actually heard they went and got the Nationals manager, Martinez. Dave, he came out and he goes, yeah, we knew about all that stuff. We mixed up our signals for the World Series. We knew about it. No, we're mixing up. We're very aware of everything. It was crazy, man, the whole thing. But, yeah, you're guilty by association, no matter who you are, if you're on the 2017. And all the guys going, I knew about it. And then they're still mad at Mike Fiers. They're taking shots at him. Like, well, Mike knew about it. Why didn't he do something? Why didn't you?
Well, look, my question in all this, where's Justin Verlander? You talk about a veteran who is always out in front talking and a well-regarded, respected spokesman
for
the game.
Said when he got there and he found out about it, he said he wished he would have done. I mean, it's
everybody wishes. Now that they caught, now everybody that they're wishes caught,
right.
They'd done something
They all
about
say
it.
The same thing. Looking back, I wish I would have stepped in. I wish I would have stepped in. But, you know, you didn't think you were going to get caught, so, you know, you didn't. And now you're dealing with this, so people are – they're down on everything. It's going to be a crazy year in baseball.
My favorite sound clip from the weekend – and not the Houston Astros owner interview, but the separate category of non-Astro interviews was Commissioner Manfred saying they didn't take away the World Series because it's a piece of metal. What were we going to take back, a piece of metal? Well, there's a little more symbolism and all that, but that piece of metal has to be the most dangerous trophy in sports, doesn't it?
Oh, my God.
I mean, they shouldn't make the Astros sit on that thing.
Oh, my God. Hey, Dave, the other thing, crazy part of this whole thing, and there's a bunch of different stuff, is people are mad at the commissioner. I mean, he got blasted by players the way he had other players because he said, we're not going to do anything to discipline the players at all. We took care of it by basically getting rid of three managers now and one general manager. And people were going, wait a second. And then they thought it was weak that he didn't want to fight the union to get these suspensions when most of the players in the union would have voted in favor of these guys getting – a lot of guys are mad that they all belong to the union, but they're all upset about this. And by the way, man, a lot of guys came out really strong, if you're wondering, the good old boy network, and we protect each other. Not in baseball and not the Dodgers. Oh, my gosh, man. They came out strong. A lot of strong comments coming from different guys around baseball, as that was kind of the story. I do hope at some point where actually it gets back to baseball.
It's not going to, because this week the Red Sox penalty is going to be handed down.
That's true.
And here we go again. And they must have something equally as substantial against them.
I don't think since Cora was their manager that you don't think he brought the old system with
him. He found
him.
Religion and said, well, no, this is cheating. We better not do this. No, but the – if they were innocent, it would have come out by now. They're innocent. It's been a month now since the Astros punishment was, and everybody knew the Red Sox. They must be going back and forth on what the punishment will accept this.
I agree.
Can we not do this?
The fact that this has taken so long, and Manfred came out and said, the commissioner came out and said, yeah, I was hoping this thing would be done by now. It's taken a little longer than I wanted it to.
Should players be punished? Remember when going to football, Tom Brady was suspended 4 games for the Deflategate thing. Should players be suspended?
Yeah, they should. If you did it, they all know it was wrong because they've admitted, but so now they're trying to tell us what percentage of the time certain guys used it. I heard the one young guy, when he got there to the big leagues, they go, hey, you want to use our system? And he goes, no, I'm hitting real well. I'm good. I'm going to go without it. So I guess they asked every guy, hey, do you want to know what's coming or not? It's kind of hard to imagine. Yeah. I'm not hitting breaking pitches that great, I guess.
Just tell me.
Just tell me if it's come. I mean, it's there for you. Like, do you want to cheat or not? It's basically you've got these guys with the system set up. Hey, you want to cheat on this guy today? He's tough to hit. Guy's one of the best in the business. Got a big fastball, nasty breaking pitch. Would you like to know what's coming?
I love
Dave,
it.
It's crazy.
A Houston Astros fan went and watched every game and broke down, listened to the beating of the trash can, broke down hitters, how they were hitting with the cheat. It's amazing and clearly it helped them.
Dave, everybody is going to look at those numbers, including guys that have left that got contracts other places. Their best year was that year at home and that year overall. And it's an issue, man. Altuve can't be sensitive about his MVP trophy. Played 81 home games. I'm sure he is great on the road. You got to be good both places to be an MVP. But sure is a nice start knowing every so often, a little batting practice. What are you throwing me? Breaking pitch. Thank you.
Here's the during the World Series, though, the commissioner had someone, Joe Torre, went down. Joe Torre, head of the rules or whatever, right. He's the enforcer of baseball, talked to both teams, told them there'll be no cheating. Basically, they knew what was going on. They had this special meeting. They must have known there's cheating going on. How could they not have stepped in at that point and said, take it away?
I just, all this stuff. And now Carlos Correa, he's the latest ass clown. He came out and now he's all upset, talented shortstop, talking about all this stuff. Mike Fiers. Let me tell you about Mike Fiers. If he had such a problem, why didn't he stop it? Why didn't you stop it? You guys all knew it was wrong. What happens when the A's play the Astros and Fiers is pitching?
You know, Fiers, Deerfield Beach, went to Deerfield Beach High.
Broward and Nova went to both schools, and he's still pitching.
He's the good guy in
coming
all this.
Coming off a good.
He's the good guy in
the
all
whistleblower.
This. Yes, yeah.
They're calling they were, which I guess is a shot because he's the guy, but I think a lot of guys are. If you were to vote on this stuff about I wish we would have taken it in-house. Everybody knew it was taken in, and nobody did anything. The whole league knew they were doing it, and they took it in-house all right. They didn't want to rat out their buddies, so they tried to work around the cheating by mixing up their signals after they found out what was going on.
Here's the odd thing to me.
Nobody wants to rat
They're
on
anybody.
They're
playing in the World Series. They're making a run through the playoffs, and no former player on another team says anything at the time.
Not to the media.
Well, anywhere to the point that to stop it. To the point, the only way to stop is if it gets out publicly, because then the shame and as Manfred said, these guys will be punished the rest of their lives because they'll be scrutinized for this. In other words, it's on the fans and the media to scrutinize these guys for the rest of their lives, as opposed to on him to hand out punishments.
Dave, they need to stop with we won it fair and square. We had the best team. Stop. Just stop. We'll never know that because you cheated. You cheated, man. You cheated with a sophisticated system. Anyway, we got to go to break. We got a lot of stuff last night. All-Star Weekend was pretty fun, especially with the Miami Heat guys that were all involved. And I saw a little Dave Hyde Saturday night, man. I was sitting there waiting to see if Coach Q was going to blow up after a pathetic effort by the Panthers. And second or third question, there's my man Dave Hyde, and I went, wow. Saturday night, and there is Dave Hyde asking questions.
On the spot, Joe.
After a game.
Tough questions.
Well, you know what? Maybe you're not playing hard enough.
Maybe questions aren't good enough. I think that's what it comes down to.
We got to go to break. We'll take a quick break. Back in a moment. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. Happy President's Day. Dave Hyde in with us as Zach continues on vacation up in a little getaway with the family. And we got a lot of stuff to get to. We got all kinds of stuff. Congratulations to the Heat. Good marketing weekend for the Miami Heat. Derrick Jones just jumped over somebody again with a bunch of impressive dunks, wins the slam dunk contest. Aaron Gordon, I know you can go back and forth, and if you're a Heat homer, you could say Aaron Gordon didn't deserve to win, or you could say Aaron Gordon had a unique dunk there and dunked over Taco and and at 7'5", but he got some help or whatever, and the 360 and between the legs and all the other things. I will tell you, I could watch those two, just the fact that they get up so high. And the fact is, people are going, "Wow, what's the big deal? He jumped over a guy 7'5", or 6'10", or 6'6". Man, they got some guys getting up. I mean, my God. It's too bad. The one thing I wish, Derrick Jones could have timed it up a little better on his long jump dunk. He missed it badly on the Michael Jordan dunk that went up for Michael Jordan years ago. Would have been nice if he got a little closer to the free throw line, just a little bit.
That's the amazing thing, that of all the ways you look how sports are different than the 70s. You know, the athleticism is better, and then in today's world, or the 80s or the 90s, every generation is better. No one's getting past the free throw line like Dr. J or Michael Jordan, you know? They still can't do that.
Well, it is no question Derrick Jones could, if he could time it and would have worked on his steps a little bit. Now I sound like we're getting ready for the Olympics with the long jump. He could have timed it, and I do believe, I don't know how many guys could do in the NBA. If you ever stand at the free throw line and you're just out playing a pickup game and you're messing around with your buddy shooting free throws, look at how far that is for some dude to take off from the free throw line and dunk it, just to give you an idea. Not only are they long, you're talking about long, but you're talking about guys that can stay in the air and are getting up really high. I mean, they are getting up there. And they show pictures of those two guys. My God. When somebody can do something you can't do, or you've never seen, or you haven't seen in a long time, it's impressive. I know some people, the dunk contest gets old, and the windmill or the 360 or between the legs now dunk, everybody can do it. Listen, man, that's still.
They've solved the dunk contest, and that is bring in two, you know, fringe players from a national perspective who can really dunk the ball and are happy to dunk the ball and have a controversy to the point Derrick Jones is saying, "You want some of me? Come back next year." We got a rematch.
Yeah.
It's already set up.
Well, Aaron Gordon's done. He said, "That's twice you screwed me.
He'll be back.
He goes, "I'm done."
That Heat Magic rivalry is on now, isn't it? The bitter rivalry between these clubs. And Dwayne Wade fueled.
Dwayne got it. Dwayne wasn't impressed and knocked.
I mean, the guy
down
plays in Orlando. This is the most relevant thing he's going to do probably in his career.
I would agree. Told him he's getting ready for the 3-point shooting contest. I said, "You better get a hell of a lot better at it before if you think they're going to let you do it." But anyway, that was it. And Bam, of course, wins the skills champion. And then Bam came back last night, and along with Jimmy Butler, and played in the new format All-Star game, 157-155, Team LeBron. And it was fun for people who stayed up late, especially into the game. First one to 157 there at the end and getting after it. Kobe Bryant, MVP, the tribute to Kobe and Gigi. I thought all that stuff was fantastic. I thought it was really important for the league, and they got it, man. And watched the whole thing over the weekend, but obviously the highlights to see what happened on all that stuff and the 3-point shot and everything else, just to see. It's a great weekend actually to have it, right? I mean, it really is. It's a good time for all that stuff. By the way, Dave, so there's gonna be articles, so get ready with the Tua and the constant updates on the hip, the durability. Issues when he comes back. Justin Herbert, raw, needs a lot of work, major upside. What's he like mentally as a leader and all that stuff as everybody tries to figure out and bluff everybody and continue this stuff. Now people are saying don't be surprised. First that Tua is better than Joe, and now it's, hey, don't be surprised that Justin Herbert jumps up there.
That's a bunch of nonsense. Let's be serious. And let's bring it down to the Dolphins' perspective. If you look at what Shane Gailey looks for in a quarterback, it's for an athletic quarterback. He's always wanted an athletic quarterback. He doesn't want drop-back passers when you look at who he's worked with. And I talked with Dave Wannstedt, who had him as his offensive coordinator. He said Justin Herbert doesn't fit what Shane Gailey likes to do. And so you add that to the fact Justin Herbert isn't as good as Tua, and it makes no sense to even be propping up Herbert as a Dolphin alternative.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, he had a chance to put up – and his team won some games at the end and ended up winning the Pac-12. But, yeah, he didn't exactly do it, throwing the ball over the field for 300 yards. And I think it's got a lot of people concerned. And they just said he just needs a lot of work. I mean, he could be really good, don't get me wrong, but he needs a lot of work with a lot of different things, including his footwork, his sloppy, and all those things. And you don't hear that with Tua. You don't hear that with Joe Burrow. With those first couple of picks, we had a lot of stuff come out. But I want to get back before we get to all this football stuff. So you show up Saturday night and they looked pathetic, just awful in that 4-1 loss with one of their best players out. They still lose 4-1, and Coach Q comes out and just says, we don't play hard enough." And then the guys all came out, we're not hustling to get to the puck and all these things. And I'm, you know, I don't see a lot of confidence. My TV is screaming, here we go again. We don't have a lot of confidence. Something goes against us and we fold. We fold like a tent, man.
The weird thing is you don't even need to understand hockey to just watch the game and see they're getting beat. And pucks are getting beat in the corners. They're getting beat on the board. All the things that just define, as you know, was said after the game, they're not working hard enough. Everything that before, even before they fell behind, they're and it makes no sense. This isn't a young team. We talk,
We're done with that.
This is who they are, and you know, the question is, if they're not going to do it this year, I wrote the column. I was out there.
I saw it. Yeah,
this will be the worst year ever for the Panthers They've had some awful years, right? Longest run without advancing in the playoff, 22 years in the NHL, and yet they got the coach everybody wanted. They got the goalie everybody wanted. They spent $90 million. They filled in their holes with tough, hardworking, gritty guys. I mean, this was supposed to be a team that, I mean, you lace up the skates in the NHL, half the teams make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they're right now they're out of the playoffs.
No, they are out. I didn't see what happened with Toronto last night. Yeah. They were playing. I don't know if they won or lost. But I was watching. Their power play is just miserable here in February. They were leading the league at one point in most goals. And now they just – they can't score in power plays. They can't score even. They can't score at all. They're 2-7 here in February, and I don't know what else he can do unless they try to shake it up here with the trade deadline coming up here and try to make some moves. But Dave, you're right on the money. And the biggest disappointment has been that goalie. You got paid a lot of money, and you're not playing like Big Bob. You're playing like Baby Bob right now. I mean, it's.
Yeah, the goalie and, you know, look, this is beyond my hockey knowledge, but the defense is awful.
Oh, no, in front of them,
so they go hand in hand.
Turn the
Who
puck
do you
over.
More?
Oh, yeah. No, the terrible turnovers. But listen, and I know Beezer, you're right, to be fair, Beezer going back for those of us that were around to watch that stuff. Beezer had good defense in front of him, but. But he
was magical, right?
He got on a roll, and it seemed like it lasted a long time. I just haven't seen that from this guy.
So Toronto lost last night. So, look, they go on a 5-game road trip. And
well, that's
they
what they
got
to hope for because they ain't getting one of those wild card slots. But they've got to get one of those top three positions, and they're not catching Tampa Bay, who's on friggin' fire. They just they got off to a slow start and then just go, all right, let's go back to being Tampa Bay. They got to get that Toronto spot, or it's Toronto doesn't look like they necessarily want. You know what today is, by the way? I haven't mentioned it. I was waiting to see if you're going to say something. First day of full squad for the Marlins.
It is, Joe. Another team that.
What happened? I'm asking you because I don't have a great relationship with them, so I understand ours. But I read both papers. I go, well. The Herald and Sun Sentinel usually fare about this stuff.
The poetry's gone. There's no
What?
Purple prose about first day of training camp and all that.
So there's not 40 of us up there anymore.
Yeah. That. Now, I was up there for first day of pitchers and catchers.
I know.
And there was a decent contingent of cameras and all that. But the next day, I'm sure there were like three people covering the team. And there, you know, again, another team that, like the Panthers, you got no winning, no attention. So
let me ask you. You follow what people want, right? In the paper?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's what you guys
especially
are about.
In a world of clicks.
You're now about what do people want? What's going to feed the appetite? That's what it's about. Listen, we're all the same. One, play the hits. We can't play our own hits. We got to play with a majority of the people we think they want.
So last week I did a story on column on Joe Burrow and the draft.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And all that, 35,000 clicks. Next day I do the Marlins about first day of pitchers and catchers, and that got about 1,200 clicks. So
35,000 to 1,200?
In that world that I'm living now, that comes into your news judgment of what am I going to do today? Yeah. So
Burrow's story did get picked up by Barstool. Remember we did that during the headlines, though?
That's right.
It was a very popular story, Dave.
Your
sports
writer
of the year, but
that.
It was picked up by Barstool.
Listen, man, when you're sports writer of the year, your stuff starts getting picked up, man.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, I just wondering. So let me ask you. You're the Marlins. New year, a lot of new faces. They got some veteran guys. They got another year of experience with these young, talented pitchers. And they do have some good young pitchers on the squad. We saw it at times last year. So what do you do if you're them to get people like, hey, we need to let people know what we got going on? Or are they just going to wait and just go, we'll show you, and you'll come back after you watch this for a month?
Well, first of all, you got to reach out to people like who have connection to fans, radio shows.
The bridge. Well, that's what we call it. The media bridge.
Right.
We're the media bridge.
We're there to be used, right?
To.
So, but when they went down this road of a complete, first of all, baseball selling it to Jeter's group, knowing this was the way they were going to go, it was a 5-year deal, basically telling fans, because we've been through this so many times, no one's going to, the first year, we know all the steps. Right? First year is a teardown. Second year, you start to get a couple players. This is the year you'll start to get some answers. Does the plan work? And year four, you expect some significant progress. But they'll be better this year, but they're not going to be, you know, better from the standpoint some of their prospects will be coming up.
Yeah.
I always use the example Derek Lee. 1998. They tear that down 1998. He hits 233, next year 206, and you're thinking he's not going to do anything. And by 2003, when they won the World Series, he was a fixture. You know, he was in the lineup and a gold glove defender. So you don't know in baseball.
I just don't know, like, how they think everybody's going to come to them.
No one's going
to
no one's going to come. And that's what it mystifies me about Derek Jeter a little bit, how he's gone about it. He's thinking, I guess, that he's still in New York and he's a super. To me, it'd be like if Dan Marino went and bought the Arizona Cardinals. It'd be great. Oh, great. It's pretty neat. Dan Marino bought the team. Okay. But nobody cares that he was a Hall of Famer with the Dolphins. What are you doing here?
Right.
What are you doing here, Derek Jeter? And it's a slow build.
Well, he'll be back in a week. You'll be able to talk to him. I'm sure he'll be be around for the sometime around the opener for the first preseason game.
That's when he's going to talk, evidently. Yeah.
That'd be good. All right, listen, we got to go to break here, and we got a lot more stuff to get. Yeah, I don't get it, man. And the other guy, Jason, I don't get him. What's the guy? The lead? What's his position, Jason?
The media guy?
Yeah, the media guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get it. Just don't get it. I'm not trying to be mean. Just don't get what you do. Don't get it. Anyway, maybe they'll come back on their own. All right, welcome back. Good morning to everybody. Happy President's Day. And hopefully get a little time off today. Dave Hyde's in from the Sun Sentinel with us this morning. Hey, Tom Brady, looks like reports are offered a 2-year, $60 million deal from the Raiders. If you don't go back now, we understand. Good chance you're going back to New England. You've had great success there. One of the greatest careers. Check that. The greatest career in professional football. So if you don't and you're really ready to leave, we would love to go into our new Las Vegas stadium with you as the quarterback.
You're Tom Brady. Do you do that? Do you close your eyes? I remember talking to Mike Lowell when all rumors about him being traded. He said I'd take 10 seconds and I envision myself in that uniform just for fun.
Yeah.
Can you envision Tom Brady in a Oakland Raiders uniform?
I can't.
I can't either.
And so my thought is that he's going to get offered $60 million for 2 years with New England. They're not going to let him go. They're going to look at everything.
They would be insane to let him go. And Brady be insane to go because his best chance of winning still is with the Raiders. With the Patriots.
Now, he will cripple him if he leaves. I do believe it. No matter what you bring in, listen, he is good. He's real good. Don't think that's a system that just runs on its own. He's been really good. But I think it's been set. Raiders like New England and Tom Brady go, thank you. That's a nice offer to start with. Now, we got a little something to go back with New England. I think Robert Kraft's looking at this and says, that's no problem. I need you, man. Stadium, that is a money-making machine up there. It's packed every game. They've had great success at home.
And do you think Robert Kraft wants to be the guy who let Tom Brady leave? I mean, in the long run, it will all be patched up. But in the short run, it would be a complete embarrassment for Robert Kraft and the Patriots to not bring back Brady.
Yeah, but I also think Tom Brady goes and knows that could be the best owner-head coach combination in football. A bad year, and they go 12-4. A bad year, and one of those losses to us. I mean, I just
there must be something going on with Belichick and Brady, though, that after 20 years, that's a hard thing to keep together for 20 years.
Oh, no, I think it's hard for all of them.
Yeah, so there must be something behind the scenes that's happening.
That's a great point. I do think there's a little wear and tear, you know, something that he might have said when you were 5 or 6 years into it, he's still saying, telling you who to talk to, who not to talk to. Hey, we don't do that, Tom. And you're sitting there at 42 and going, really, Bill? Really? You're still doing this stuff with me? I understand. I made it clear that you rip me like you rip all the other players in meetings, but now you're telling me things that don't have to do with on the field. I don't go with that.
Can you see any team he could go to that – the only way he would go to a team that's instant ready for the Super Bowl if he drops down on them, right? And that's why I don't see the Chargers. I don't see them ready.
I think he's afraid the Chargers. He goes there and plays in front of 35,000-40,000 every game. They don't have a fan
base. And plays in front of an awful offensive line. Now, they'll try to upgrade it, but it's not a sure thing. As, well, the Dolphins have shown for the past 20 years that you try to upgrade an offensive line overnight, that you can do it. So I don't see the Chargers being – San Francisco was the one, but why would San Francisco come off a young quarterback who, okay, if you're judging only by the Super Bowl – He's not ready, but he's still learning, and he hasn't hit his ceiling yet.
Well, I will tell you this: they have Tom Brady in that Super Bowl. They win.
Yeah.
And your head coach got a lot more confidence. Throw the ball before the half.
Yep. Yep.
Throw the ball at the end of the game, run it, and put it in Tom's hands and make the right throw.
That's about the only situation I can see where, okay, that makes sense.
Still short time fix, though.
In the short run.
Right. It's a Band-Aid because he ain't going to play. He's not going to play much longer. Look, the whole intrigue for me with the top three guys in age, Phillip Rivers and Breeze and Brady, is that, all right, so they're coming back. It's still – you better get ready because they ain't going to be playing very long.
Does anybody take Phillip Rivers? That's what I'm curious about.
I think
about.
So.
You think somebody will?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, who would you rather have, Phillip Rivers or Jameis Winston at Tampa Bay?
Well, Jameis Winston now has LASIK surgery done on him, so he will throw fewer interceptions because he can actually see people.
Are the eyes part of pressure when you get pressure and you make bad throws? Is that part of the LASIK surgery that goes on? Who would you rather have? Next year, your quarterback, Phillip Rivers, who, by the way, is throwing a ton of interceptions too, or Jameis Winston, who is 11 years younger.
I'd be trying to be going off the board and find another answer somewhere because, I love Phillip Rivers, but I saw
him. You don't have to butt me at all. You can just
tell me. In some of those games last year that I saw, and I didn't see all their games, but he looked like a guy about done. So. You take on a guy like that and bring him into a new system and all of a sudden you're midway through the year. There's nothing worse than having an aging superstar, especially when he's.
We still don't know though. At least we knew he could play. You don't know if Jameis Winston can play.
I don't want Jameis Winston. I don't want him either.
He just threw 30 picks. He had 5 fumbles. He had 35 turnovers by himself. Team had 41, which means. You show me 41 turnovers on any one of the 32 teams, and I'll show you a team not going to the playoffs.
What are we, in year 5? I mean, this should have been worked out in year 2 or 3 if he's going to be any good.
That might be the hardest decision in football. But, hey, how about if Tom Brady does go to the Raiders? Goodbye, Derek Carr. Would you take Derek Carr, or are you not a Derek Carr fan?
I'm not a Derek Carr fan.
Okay.
I mean, he's a
– what?
He's a Ryan Tannehill type, okay? A good enough,
all right.
If everybody around him is good enough, but he's not going to raise the boat at all.
All right. That was interesting. I was wondering how you're going to handle
one. You'd want Derek Carr?
I like Derek Carr. I do. Now, John Gruden doesn't look like he does.
Not at all. But right? John Gruden
hadn't liked a quarterback since he's won a Super Bowl. He's never liked a quarterback. And by the way, the other story, and I'm almost embarrassed to bring this up because we bring it up almost every day here, this Antonio Brown stuff. Now he's going to head to Indy for the combine to meet with teams. How does he think that's going to turn out? First of all, can you imagine GM when he walks up to him? He goes, oh, God. Oh, here he comes. Oh, God. Like, hey. No, hey, hey, I'd like to meet with you. I'd be interested, and everything else. Like, dude, what the hell just happened to you in the last year? We don't have enough time. Like, first of all, we don't know what's happened between you and the commissioner and the NFL. Are you going to counseling? We've all seen those videos. Everybody's seen your videos you've done on social media. Something ain't right with you, man. Something's not right. And honestly, you're about half poison the way you talk to that wife of yours in front of those kids. You are poison right now to a lot of people out there. You're no longer the 90-catch guy for 1,500 yards. When you talk, the biggest mistake he's made, maybe bigger than any, and I didn't realize it till this weekend, I was at O.J. McDuffie's charity event. It was a great bowling event that he has, and there were a ton of guys, and we had a group of wives and girlfriends standing around, and the thing, they were talking about Antonio Brown and his receiver coach for St. Thomas Aquinas is Antonio Brown's cousin, who just destroyed his career for coaching, getting arrested for the van. And the biggest mistake, I just listen to women. I was just listening there and not being a know-it-all. I didn't do a talk show on everybody. We're doing a little drinking. And everything goes back to drinking. but Dave, their biggest thing was the way he talked to that mother in front of those kids. Whatever he thinks, and he calling her a hoe,
there's no coming back from that, huh?
It's like those three little boys were standing there watching their dad on social media act like a damn fool. and police officers there too. The whole Hollywood Police Department was there, about 12 of them, wondering what the hell, like, he's not, something ain't right. So now you're going to show up at all this stuff after all that stuff?
And pretend it didn't happen.
Pretend it didn't happen. Like, hey, I'm your number one guy you're looking for.
He needs to stay.
Where's your agent, Jerky?
He needs to stay completely out of the headlines.
Man.
For 6 months and hope some team will grab him.
We'll check on him. But going to Indy, I want to hear him come home. Very productive. Really, really productive. Hey, can you guys stop the interview with all these young guys you might draft? I'm Antonio Brown. I want to do some social media with you in your room. We got to go to break here. 7 o'clock hour's coming up. Dave Hyde with me today. Nice enough, Dave was coming home from the Keys. I said, Dave, you got a few minutes? Come on, man, let's get up early, have some coffee together. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.